Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 134 of Connectivity. I am Scott Thompson. This week we have two regular segments for you and then a bonus segment. Kicking the show off, Neil and I sit down to discuss his controversial Mario Kart 8 review. He'll talk about the game in general, why he gave it the score he did, and what makes it a great Mario Kart game and what makes it a not-so-great Mario Kart game. After that, Don's back to host another monthly game show, this time all about sports games, and his contestants are myself and Addison. And after the show's over, we have a bonus segment all about The Amazing Spider-Man 2 with Neil and Zach. Enjoy. We'll go ahead and get started, I guess, at least with the introductions. My name is Scott. I am with Neil Ronahan. And Neil wrote the review of Mario Kart 8 that shook the world.
Well, I guess so. Don Koopman and I both reviewed Mario Kart 8. I had the North American copy and he had the European. And we had a weird groupthink where, completely separately, I talked to him briefly, like, a week before the review. Like, we both read the reviews. And we wound up each giving it a 7.5, which is also not the lowest. Screw Attack gave it a 7 out of 10, but definitely skewing lower. I did enjoy the game, but, I mean, it's more of the same. I wish single player was better. I don't think a lot of the new additions, namely Mario Kart TV, really add much.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I think the telling thing is that you guys weren't alone. You know, that there were also review scores in that range. So it's not like you guys are outliers or anything. Alright, let me start this video, and I think we can go ahead and get started. So this video you'll be watching is just Neil's video review. You can watch that on YouTube if you want to hear him also explain his thoughts about Mario Kart 8 while watching some pretty footage of the game. So let's talk, Neil, maybe about some of the, well, you could do it on multiplayer, but let's talk about the non-online stuff. It's like the Grand Prix mode. What did you think overall about the Grand Prix mode, the tracks they brought back, new tracks, all that kind of stuff?
I really enjoyed racing through the tracks. They're all, for the most part, they're really fun. And they don't, like with Mario Kart 7, one of my big complaints with that was that they added in, you know, the glider and the underwater stuff, but they didn't really do that much with it. Like, it felt like only certain races made use of that, and it would be, like, the glider. I think there was probably two or three instances in all of the 32 tracks of Mario Kart 7 where the gliders were used to any kind of interesting effect. Because for the most part, it would be like, you're going off a jet, there's the guy, okay, you're down, you're back on the ground. And underwater, yeah. It was like, you know, a couple races, although it was cool when, like, I think they had Koopa Beach from the N64 version was in Mario Kart 7, and you could go underwater there, and that was kind of like a mind-bending thing, because I've played that race many, many times, and I could never do that before. I just have Lactude come over and be like, no, dude, don't do that.
You're dumb.
And then in Mario Kart 8, they took more advantage of that. There was a lot more interesting glider things. There's even a lot of segments where it's like, you can kind of optionally go off a jump and use the glider, so you'll have a lot of moments where people are using the glider and then other people aren't, and it's kind of like, you'll see a computer player do that and be like, how do I do that? And then maybe your next lap, you try to do that. The underwater stuff is still kind of like, I wouldn't say hit or miss, but it's like there's very specific sections. And the only thing it does is in certain levels, like if you mess up and fall in the water, you're not doomed.
Mm-hmm. Do you move a lot slower in the water?
Yeah.
Do you move
about the same? I mean, it's the same kind of like floaty physics that were in Mario Kart 7. And then the zero gravity stuff is cool too, but outside of being a neat visual trick, I didn't really notice too much different with it. I mean, you do have the spin dash thing where you can bump into other cars and kind of spin around. I didn't play as much of like the team racing, but I imagine that would be a really devious tactic to do when you do like the 6-on-6 team racing, which I used to actually do a lot in Mario Kart Wii. But, cause you could essentially, like, have a couple people being in the front, and then when you're in a zero gravity area, just bump into each other over and over again and keep on getting a boost. Because the way the boost works, as far as I can tell, is that, like, if you were to bump into two different people, then you get, like, more of a boost than if you just bumped into one person. You can kind of, like, chain it together.
Okay.
Which is, it's a neat tweak. Like, that, but for the most part, like, even, I found as I was playing it with people locally, a lot of these people weren't really following Mario Kart 8, and it was just kind of like, you know, friends and family that I was like, hey, new Mario Kart, you in? And they'd be like, yeah. I wouldn't even explain it to them at first, because it is, like, a kind of weird concept.
Yeah.
And then usually they'd kind of discover it on their own.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of found it telling that as I was explaining, like, here's the new stuff about Mario Kart 8, I would kind of gloss over that because it's not really that big of a part of it.
Right, and maybe just more complicated to explain than being actually, like, necessary, being worth that trouble, I guess. So we were talking a little bit before we started, but you can do all the Grand Prix stuff with up to 4 people locally.
Yes. Can and you do I that? Don't think you could do that in Mario Kart. I don't think you could do that in Mario Kart 7. I know you know for a fact you couldn't do it in anything prior to that.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool. I like that. And like you were saying, even if you're playing with tons of people, as long as one of you wins the race, then you get, you unlock the, you know, whatever characters yeah. tied to that.
And note. I think all the coins that you earn, across the 4 players playing, they all add up to getting new car parts. I'm pretty sure. That seemed weird, cause there was like one time where I did like a race and then I unlocked a car part and then I did like another race and it was like, hey, you unlock more. And that was like single player by myself. Like, it seems kind of, I don't know. It says it's 50, every 50 coins you get a new part. And I think it's all randomized, like Mario Kart 7, and even the character unlocking appears to be randomized. Although I'm not 100% sure. I didn't like go through and make different save files so I could be like, do you unlock Lemmy when you race this on 100cc?
Yeah.
That didn't seem worth it as much.
Speaking of those unlockables, the like car parts or cart parts and stuff, that kind of works like how it's worked in the past. I mean, you just unlock different, you know, wheels and chassis and stuff like that. And
there
and
seems to be a little more variety in how some stuff kind of handles. Or I guess not in how it handles, but like, it seems like the bikes and the carts and then the ATVs, like, they all just have a different feel to them. And there's no wheelies or anything. There's no big differences there. But it's kind of, even with the stats that you make for them, each of those three feels completely different. And I quickly gravitated towards bikes. I know other people still prefer carts. I also preferred bikes in Mario Kart Wii as well, though. I'll say this. I am keeping an eye out on my personal Twitter, at Enron10, and also the Nintendo World Report Twitter. So if you want to ask us a question, we kind of suck at Google Hangouts. I don't know if there's a way to get some sort of chat here. But if you want to ask us a question, just hit me up on Twitter on either.
That's going to be the best way, yeah.
Nintendo World Report, Enron10, or Nintendo_NWR. And
yeah,
we'll get to it at some point.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about some of the multiplayer stuff then, both online and then the battle mode. Let's start with racing online. How did it work? Was it fluid? Was it smooth? I mean, did you have any problems?
I mean, it's a little tough to completely judge the online because you're not really dealing with the full weight of having a bunch of people there. Whenever I would search for online matches, it would be like joining a match with 4 other people, and I'd recognize it. It'd be like, oh, it's Jose from IGN. Looks like the guy from Game Explains there. Like, it's all the reviewers playing it.
I
raced a couple races with, I don't know if where they were from, but I guess the time that I was playing must have been ripe for people to play in Europe. Cause I just saw like, it was like me and like 6 dudes with European flags. I'm like, all right, I guess this is fun. and it works really nicely. And even when you're like Mario Kart 7, when you're waiting to join in, you can watch the current race and go between all the players racing them, which is kind of nice. It, you know, then you kind of know, like, all right, you know, I still have 2 laps. I can go up and get water and then come back, and this is probably going to start.
Sure. And then you can just stay in the same, like, the same race with the same people, just go from race to race to race until you're done.
Yeah, yeah. And then, it's the kind of thing where, like, it takes you out to, like, a doofy-looking picture of all the Miis on a world map, and then you pick your races, and then it, you know, randomly selects one, and then you go and do it. Friends matches kind of works the same way, except for in the lobby, you can talk to each other, but it's kind of like once it picks the race, it's like, all right, we're done. stop talking, guys. It's ready. It's time to race.
Because you can't talk during the race, right?
No, which I really, I didn't, when I first heard that, I didn't think it would bum me out as much. And then when I actually played it, it bummed me out a whole lot.
Yeah.
Because I really, I like talking smack during races with friends. And well, it was
when I think of like all my favorite Mario Kart experiences, it's definitely with just like four people around a couch, just, yeah, just talking shit to each other.
Yeah. And for some people that might not make that big of a difference. I know I was talking to some people who were just like, well, I talk with people on Skype anyway when I play games.
Mm.
So if you're going to do that, then awesome. I mean, I've done that. I used to do that for Wii games a lot because outside of Animal Crossing, what used Wii Speak? Didn't, I guess Conduit 2 might have, but even still, Wii Speak was not optimal.
No.
And I just wish voice chat was available during the races because it, I think the lack of voice chat during races will mean that I will play way less online than I kind of thought I would because I,
really?
I didn't think that would be like a deal breaker for me until I played it and kind of compared it to playing locally with friends. And I realized how much I loved, you know, being able to kind of, you know, taunt being like, you know, oh, baby Rosalina's in first, suck it, Peach, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And even that's probably my favorite part of Mario Kart TV is that when you're done a race, it, like, cause Mario Kart TV is kind of hokey in how it works because at the end of every race, it'll have this, like, by default, it'll have a 30-second highlight reel that will focus on the active playable characters, like the actual player characters.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of just watch that and slow it down, but it does this thing where it'll be like, here's Koopa Troopa, and he's throwing a green shell. And then there will be this, like, awkwardly long fade to black, and it'll show, like, the green shell hitting someone, and then another awkward fade to black, and it'll show Koopa Troopa cheering.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's all... It's charming in its hokiness, but it is kind of hokey.
Yeah.
And you can mess with that and edit it and change the focus characters. You can change it to, like, action or items or big hits. And I would like it when I would change it to big hits, and it would just be like, here's Waluigi racing through half the race. And here's half of the highlight reel. It's just Waluigi going forward. It's like, where did Waluigi finish? I don't know, like eighth? and that's kind of the fun in it, and that like, as beautiful as it looks at everything, it's kind of dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And then slowing it down can be fun, where it's just like, oh, look at that big hit. And I noticed sometimes where like, cause it will show you stuff like, you know, the green shell, the red shell hitting someone. And I realized, and here's a fun fact, pro tip, if you will. if you're looking at that and you like slow it down so that way you can kind of see like the shell break apart, which it does have this kind of cool, like it breaks apart and you see the parts shatter around the person as they writhe in agony.
Mm.
But you can then quickly rewind that using the analog stick and then make it hit him again. And you just create, like, it doesn't erase the first shattered shell. So at one point I had like four or five shattered shells up in the air. And then I decided to stop because I thought it might break the system. So
yeah,
see how many shattered shells you can get before the system just breaks and blows up.
And then you can post those to Miiverse?
Yes, and YouTube. I heard this morning that the YouTube functionality went live. Which it's like, come on, cool. Guys. Like, I could have taken that disclaimer out of my review.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't able to test that, but I'll be doing that later today. So you might see some dumb things that I did up on YouTube.
Could you post to Miiverse yet? Is the community?
Yeah, you can.
It is. Okay.
But that was also, we were, with the embargo, we were allowed a specific limited amount of direct feed footage and the Miiverse posting counted as it.
So counted, man.
I kind of shied away from that because I was like, I'll just let Jared have as much breathing room as possible.
Yeah, for the review, yeah.
Yep.
Huh. So let's talk about the battle mode, which it sounds like it was pretty disappointing for you.
I think
the battle mode has this sort of legacy of being like just amazing. I mean, I think of playing Mario Kart 64 and playing, Block Fort, I think was
Not necessarily in preparation for this review, but back at PAX East, I played some Mario Kart 64, I played some Mario Kart Wii, and very much in preparation for this review, I played some Double Dash earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
The battle mode in Double Dash and Mario Kart 64 is still fun. Mario Kart Wii, don't really care for it. But Mario Kart 64, I realized that the actual racing Mario Kart 64 is complete crap now. It looks like garbage. However, battle mode is still amazing.
Still fun, yeah.
And I don't really know what happened. They seem to have this weird focus on having teams, making it timed, just having it be this kind of big, this big free-for-all where there's too much room to do anything. And I just think of how Mario Kart 64 worked so well because those maps were made for four people to have them be in close quarters for the most mm-hmm. part. And it just seems like they completely lost that, where they had like these weird segmented rooms. Like, I just remember that Honeybee Hive level that I think it was in like DS and then in 7 or something. And that sucked. And it's like, I don't know where along the line they forgot how battle mode was fun, but they did.
Yeah.
Cause I did have a couple moments and I saw some of the reviews mentioned that like, oh, you know, it kind of grew on me. Mm-hmm. And it almost had the reverse feeling on me. Cause the first couple matches, I went into it being like, all right, battle mode's gonna suck. Like, they ruined it. And the first couple times I played it, it was just me and one friend playing against a computer, and we had fun. And then we realized it was almost a crapshoot. Because if you wound up near other people, and, you know, you could try to dodge stuff and hit them, then it was great. But as people, because the way it works is that you have 12 people on the track, because it's a modified version of courses. There's only eight to choose from.
Yeah.
And you have 12 people on the track, but as they die, then they turn into ghosts. And as a ghost, you can still do things. You can still fire items, but they don't count towards, like, your point total. It would just detract from other people. Because mm-hmm. the way it works, and I think this is the way it was in 7 as well, is that you get points for having all of your balloons at the end of the, like, for a point for each balloon you have at the end of the match, and you also get a point for every, like, you know, kill you get on other people. But when you're a ghost, you can take points away from people by getting rid of the balloon, but that doesn't count towards your point total.
Okay, so but the you're thing just, is, like, trolling people, not helping yeah. yourself.
But the thing is that there's no map or anything. So, unless you're playing on the gamepad, there is a map that shows where, if you're a ghost, it shows where you are. I don't think it shows where the other ghosts are. And then you kind of drive around aimlessly looking for people, unless you have that map. In which case, and you're like, oh, that guy's on the other half of the map. I guess maybe I'll try to turn around. No, he turned around. All right. I guess we're just gonna go on a random circuit.
So yeah, it sounds like the levels are just too big.
Yeah. Like, I wish they were just focused arenas. And there was a comment from, I don't know if it was the director, someone affiliated with the development of this game, that they're like, oh, we wanted to have like this kind of jousting match that would go from a lot of people frantically attacking each other and whittle it way down to one, which works when the people are close together. Mm-hmm. But I've had many times when I played battle mode where the last minute of it would be four people trying to find each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a bad romantic comedy. Like, all right, guys, they got in a fight and they're mad. Now they can't find each other. In the last seconds, they find each other. But then, nope, time's up. They both got two balloons. Move on.
Right, because it's got the timer. Yeah, that kind of sucks. You can do, well, I mean, obviously, if you've been playing it that many people. But so you can do battle mode online and locally.
Yes. However, yeah. battle online, it's not as easy.
Not as easy?
It's like nestled in a custom mode and it's weird. Like there's,
oh, really?
Yeah, it's like they kind of, it seems like they hide it.
Maybe. So locally you would do it with four people and then the rest just be computers?
Yeah, yeah.
Can you do it with just four people? Like, can you set it with no AI or does it have to be filled out by the,
I don't know if AI. I'd recommend that. I think you can.
But the levels would just be too big yeah. to be.
And I think that's part of the reason why I never even tried it. It's because
yeah.
I'd rather just go to Wii mode and play Mario Kart 64.
Yeah. Before we go to any questions, if anyone has any, maybe talk a little bit about the new items. I'm watching your video review here and you know, like I'm seeing the boomerang flower and things like that. Were there any new items that stuck out to you, good or bad?
The boomerang flower is pretty cool. It basically,
how does that work? Can you keep using it as long as you catch it?
Well, you have three uses of it.
Okay.
And so you can throw it forward or backward and then it like will eventually come back to you and sometimes it'll hit people on the way back. But it's almost like when you first throw it, you kind of almost use it like a green shell where you're kind of just throwing it in front of you trying to hit someone.
To see what
directly.
Happens. Yeah.
And then, it'll come back to you. But if before it comes back to you, if you pick up another item block, then you lose it.
Oh, okay.
but then you still, I mean, you can wait for it to come back to you, and then you have your three uses.
Yeah.
The piranha plant, I thought would be a lot cooler than it was. It wasn't really that, it's kind of novel, because it's goofy, because you're holding this piranha plant. And the piranha plant is probably my favorite power-up in Super Mario 3D World.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the cat suit is amazing, but I just love carrying around that piranha plant and going up to people that you're playing co-op with and completely trolling them.
Yeah.
But the piranha plant's kind of hard to control. Like, you'll get a lot of boosts from it, but it just, I could never really figure out exactly what it would go after and how it would carry me. And it's like, almost like a harder version to control of the super mushroom. I think that, or no, what is that? The mushroom where you boost a lot. Cause I think the regular mushroom is just the super mushroom. I don't know.
The golden mushroom.
Golden mushroom is probably the name for it. It's kind of like a harder to control version of the bullet bill in the gold mushroom.
Okay.
So, I mean, and that kind of makes it a little disappointing is because it's kind of like, oh, it's like these two other items I already can get. But then, like, you know, the piranha plant can mess with other people.
Can damage, yeah.
Yeah, and get rid of obstacles as well. Because, like, if you're about to hit a banana peel, then nope, piranha plant ate it.
Oh, cool.
And then the super horn, there was one time where someone I was playing with used it as a blue shell. I probably played, I don't know, 100 matches? Probably more. And there was one time where someone used a super horn to get rid of a blue shell.
Now, is that just because it doesn't come very often, or just it's hard to time it right?
It's like the timing, like, I actually tried to use a super horn to get rid of a red shell and missed the timing completely.
Okay.
So that's hard. The timing of the blue shell is pretty easy because the way the blue shell comes up is that it's on the ground, and then when it gets to the player in first, it'll kind of go up in the air and almost taunt you and then slam down and blow up. So mm-hmm. when it goes up to taunt you, then you could use a super horn. Like, they kind of, like, they're lenient with the timing of defending yourself from the blue shell. But it's just kind of this, it's almost like it has to be this perfect confluence of having the two items where you need to have the super horn to be in first place and then someone needs to throw a blue shell at you. Like, I did have one time where I was in second place and used the super horn because I was like, well, what's the use of that? And then I passed the person in first place, like, 5 seconds later, and then a blue shell hit me.
Got hit by a blue shell, yep.
Which is just like, damn. Like, I was just like, oh, I'll get another item, because then I can protect my back, and not thinking that a blue shell would get me. But it's just, I mean, it's nice that there's something to defend against a blue shell, but people that are like, oh, this saves the balance, it's incredible. Like, sort of?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one thing that I've seen a lot of people talk about this, and as someone who played a ton of Mario Kart Wii, I don't think the balance in Mario Kart Wii and Mario Kart 8 is all that different.
Really?
Maybe it does skew a little bit, like, more forgiving in Mario Kart 8, but, like, there's still a lot of blue shells. It's all kind of luck of the draw, and, I mean, it's random and everything, and it does seem like when you're in first place, you get, like, better items, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
Then usually, like, you just kind of like, oh, another banana, great. And it does seem like you get slightly better items, but that's also, they did change how items work, and we've talked about it before, how you can only hold one at a time.
I was going to ask you about that, how you felt that sort of changed the gameplay at all.
I like it. It does make it where you need to be almost a little more, I guess kind of a little more mindful. Because I'd have a lot of times when, you know, I'm in first place and I'd be driving around with a banana and maybe I'll let go of the banana before I pick up a new item block and kind of take the risk. But then that's like that calculated risk where you're like, okay, before this item, you know, the roulette goes and then I can use it, will anything hit me? And then, you know, it's a chance that you take. And I think it does kind of add a little, it tweaks the strategy in, I think, a better way. It just makes it so you can hoard less. I think it makes items less of a factor, which is probably better for the game as a whole. Scott, I know you're hella excited for this game. So, what's your take on it so far?
Well, having never played it, my take is I'm still excited. I mean, watching this gameplay that Jared recorded, it just looks beautiful.
It does.
Like, and here, in reading your review and hearing your thoughts here, it sounds like some of your issue was, well, A, that the single player, it, it's over pretty quick. I mean, you said you did everything in 5 hours.
Yeah, about that. Like, I think I might have been missing a character or something, but
yeah,
I was, as far as outside of unlocking characters, like, I was personally done with playing it in the single player at probably the 4 or 5 hour mark, which
yeah,
if you're going to primarily be playing this in single player, it's really disappointing.
Right. And see, that doesn't really, like we were talking about before we recorded, that's not such a huge deal for me, because my wife and I will play through it probably entirely yeah. together. I don't know that I'll ever play it by myself unless I'm just playing online by myself. So, I'm excited to go through the Grand Prix with her, and
you can even take your wife online. Which
yeah, exactly. So I'm actually really excited about that.
If you are able to play this game consistently with people in multiplayer, whether it is something online where maybe you're on Skype to talk to your friends during races, or mm-hmm. you have friends nearby that you can play it locally with, then that's probably, then like, if you were to grade it solely on that, then this game's amazing.
Yeah.
But looking at it as kind of the entire package.
Sure.
And as someone who, not that I, you know, I do play Mario Kart. For me, it's an even split where I'll play it single player and then also play it multiplayer when I have friends around. Mm-hmm. And the multiplayer is still really fun, but the single player really hurt it for me. And I mean, the fact is that there's nothing, like, if you were to degrade the graphics and tell me this is Mario Kart Wii, I wouldn't doubt you. And to mm-hmm. me, that's kind of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
For other people, that might not be, but that's kind of where I stand on it, is that I don't see it as that wholly different than Mario Kart Wii. A lot of the interface is the same, and I actually kind of like some things that Mario Kart Wii did a little better. I mean, the online at 8 is far and away way, way better.
Mm-hmm.
Not that Mario Kart Wii's online was fine, although we only got another, like, 5 days before that shit goes away.
Yeah, so if you play Mario Kart Wii, do it now.
But I was actually talking about this with a former staff member, Mike Gammon, who's a huge Mario Kart fan. And he asked me, like, how many stars, because when you beat a Grand Prix, you either just, like, just barely get it, or you get, like, 1 stars, 2 stars, or 3 stars. And that made me think about how part of the reason why I got so deep into Mario Kart Wii was that they had these kind of ridiculous characters locked away at specific intervals. Mm-hmm. Where, like, you know, okay, if you beat 150cc on, like, 3 stars, and you get Dry Bowser, you get Funky right. Kong, like, I mean, dumb characters, but characters I wanted to see, I wanted to be able to play as, even though I probably played as them once and then just stuck to Koopa Troopa.
Mm-hmm.
And those were locked away by beating it at 3 stars. And that kind of made me want to get 3 stars, and it encouraged me to do better at the game. Whereas with this is, maybe it's for the best that some of the stuff's locked away behind much less stringent restrictions. It kind of makes the single player feel boring, because it's just like, you don't really need to do that good. You just kind of need to eke into first place. And then you get everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, it kind of demanded you be the fucking badass at the game in order to win. And there is a reward for getting 3 stars and everything. But, if you don't know what it is, it doesn't really seem worth it.
No.
It's not quite as bad as, like, getting 1,000,000 coins in New Super Mario Bros. 2 and just getting an alternate title screen. It's not that bad. But it's still not that exciting.
Okay.
And I kind of, like, if they did have, a, like, in all honesty, if I heard that there was a bigger reward for getting 3 stars in every cup, I'd probably do it. But mm-hmm. once I heard what that was, then I'd stop trying because it didn't seem worth it or interesting right. to me.
Well, I was going to say, too, I think maybe part of the issue is I think with Mario Kart Wii, we didn't know pretty much all the unlockable characters going in. Like, I think Dry Bowser, I mean, that was a surprise, if I remember correctly. Whereas I feel like everyone was pretty much revealed, right? I mean, was there any, did you unlock any characters you didn't already know
nope.
about?
There's rumors of DLC. Like, I think there was some, like, ad for it in a foreign country that had, like, Diddy Kong as a racer, oh, okay. and he's not in it, so maybe he'll be DLC.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, it was all people I knew of.
Yeah.
And even the Koopalings, which kind of factored into the marketing, like, they're all locked at the start, but it's like, mm-hmm. I had a friend come over who had heard a little bit about the game and really wanted to be Lemmy Koopa. I don't really know why. Iggy's the best, clearly. But he really wanted to be Lemmy Koopa, and I haven't unlocked him yet. He's like, damn it. And it's like, it's like you have all this focus on some of these characters, and then it's like that, yeah, they're like, that would have been such a great surprise. I was mentioning before we started airing it live that, like, if I was playing that game, beat a Grand Prix, and they're like, you unlocked Roy Koopa, I would have shit my pants.
Right, if you hadn't
like,
already
that would
known
have
it.
Been incredible. Granted, I probably would have thrown my Wii out a window when it's like, here's Pink Gold Peach! Like, I would have just been like, alright, now guys, I'm out. Like, what's this?
This is not working. Yeah, that's pretty good. And, you know, I think they kind of ran into that problem with Smash Brothers, where it was like, oh, Sonic and Snake are in the
yeah.
game. Oh, but you have to unlock them. And, I mean, it wasn't immediately clear how you even unlocked them.
Yeah.
And it took a little while to unlock them.
Yeah.
But they used them in so much of the promotion.
That's what, oh, man. I didn't realize, like, because I don't know if it's going to be a simultaneous worldwide release, but I do remember with Smash Brothers Brawl, when that finally came out in America, I basically had a roadmap of how to unlock everybody. That's gonna be a mind bender if I have no idea. Cause I remember Melee was, I mean, that was more because I was like 13 when Melee came out and the internet wasn't as widely known. But I remember
right,
like
so,
still being like, how do you get Mewtwo?
Yeah.
It's like then I left my system on overnight or something. I forget exactly.
To do it. Yeah. You had to play so many hours.
Yeah.
So you just let it run the whole time. Yeah.
that's what I'm kind of excited. I hope there's some dumb unlock stuff for that.
Yeah,
because I do like having that kind of like you need to beat this challenge mode in order to unlock this character because it's a tangible reward.
Right. Well, it's like the carrot on the stick, right? It gets you to play the game. It's like a better version of like achievements or something where it's getting you to play the game in ways maybe you wouldn't normally.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at that right now with Octodad, where I've only played like 4 levels of that game. It's not even that long of a game, but it's just that like I'm like, oh, how do I get that trophy? And then I go back into the level and in free play and just screw around and then find out like, oh, if I throw the wedding ring from across the room onto my wife's finger, then I'm a happy Octodad. and that's, I think that's what kind of kills me with Mario Kart 8 is that there's no real drive. Like, I guess the kind of reward that they have for the time trials is stamps from Evers.
Mm-hmm.
The reward for the time trials of Mario Kart Wii was Toadette, which arguably isn't any better. But still, like, that's a tangible thing that you can use in the game. For me, the stamps are neat, but that's what, like, I mean, you compare it to something like Super Mario 3D World, which also had stamps as a carrot on the stick. But for me, the joy of getting those stamps was finding out where the stamp was and trying to get it.
Right, you had to, like, physically find it in the level.
And also, and I know, I mean, this is probably also kind of conflicting stuff from people preferring different things, because I've heard people complain that how they wish that Super Mario 3D World didn't have stuff gated by collectibles. For me, I have no problem with that, even though there's no way in hell I'm ever going to play that last level in Super Mario 3D World. Because there's so many, like, I'm not going through it to get all those damn flagpoles, like, nope, you lost me, game.
You should. That last level's insane.
I've heard it's very cool. I haven't even watched a YouTube video because I'm like, well, you know what? Maybe I'll do it someday.
Yeah.
But to me, Super Mario 3D World's a game that kind of does that carrot on the end of the stick right. Because it has tangible things that you unlock by doing that. And it makes it worthwhile to go through that. Whereas with Mario Kart 8, the single player isn't worthwhile. It's a means to an end to unlock some characters. And you play multiplayer with your friends when you're bored on a Friday night and drinking beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't sound like a bad Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. When I give it a 7.5, it's not like I'm like, this is a piece of shit. Like, I still really enjoyed the game. It's just that it disappointed me. It wasn't, it wasn't exactly what I wanted and hoped for in the new Mario Kart.
Sure.
I did want a single player experience because I think about something like Sonic and All-Star, what the hell's the name of it? Sonic and All-Star Racing Transformed, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's what the name of it is.
Pretty sure.
But I look at a game like that, and I think of the single-player mode in that, and I think of how that was the majority of the time that I spent with that game, and I probably spent close to a dozen hours playing that single-player mode, and I loved it. It was challenging. It was fun. There were awesome, like, you unlocked, like, a weird Sega system character if you beat that, which I never did, because it's hard as shit. But, like, that is the ultimate carrot on the end of the stick, like, a completely bonkers character that I didn't even know about when I first started playing that game.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that single player mode is what I wish Mario Kart did. And they didn't do that. They just did what they always did.
Right.
However, the multiplayer Mario Kart, way better than Sonic Racing, but that's mostly because people know what Mario Kart is, and when I played Sonic Racing with other people, they'd be like, holy shit, I'm flying a plane.
Yeah, well, every lap the game was different. Yeah,
they're like, what happened? Like, what, the Skies of Arcadia was cool, what the fuck is happening? I don't even know what a Panzer Dragoon is.
Yeah, that's fair. So yeah, I guess we'll wrap this up. As you just mentioned, you gave the game a 7.5. You can read Neil's review at NintendoWorldReport.com. You can watch the review at NintendoWorldReport.com or at the, Nintendo World Report channel on YouTube. Yeah, I guess, I mean, any final thoughts? I mean, if you're a fan of Nintendo World Report, a community, you know, forum member and stuff like that, I imagine we'll be doing community nights pretty soon once the game comes out.
Maybe someone with a little more fervor for the game than me. Scott, you can take it up.
Yeah, exactly. I'll handle it.
Because that was the thing, me doing the Mario Golf stuff, and that shit only lasted a week, although we are going to be doing another Mario Golf tournament with a reward. Whoever wins it will get a downloadable code for either, I think, Advance Wars or Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga on the Wii U.
Oh, nice.
Or maybe both. I don't know exactly how I'm going to do it. But that's kind of why those have languished for a little bit, because I've been trying to plan of what I'm going to do next. Mm-hmm. And I've also been focused on Mario Kart and other games, because I basically played Mario Golf for like a month.
I put
30 plus hours into that game, and I needed a break.
Yeah.
And even if that break cut off me setting up these tournaments, it was just kind of like, no, I need to play other games.
Yeah.
Although I totally am going to go back to Mario Golf. I love that game.
Cool. Well, yeah, so keep an eye out for that, and I guess that will do it. So, Neil, thanks for being here talking about Mario Kart 8.
Thanks for having me, I guess, even though I think this is my idea.
Yeah, probably, but, yeah, what are you going to do?
But I guess, yeah, my final words are, if you don't like my review, I am sorry. If you think that you are going to enjoy this game and you read the other more positive reviews and agree with them, that's awesome. I hope you really enjoy the game. I hope you enjoy it more than I did. I do hope that anyone who plays this game does not enjoy it less than I did, which probably will happen. Not saying that, like, I'm at the bottom of the barrel here, but, like, it'll bum me out if people don't enjoy Mario Kart that much. I hope they enjoy it, even if I am on the lower end of the spectrum.
Sure. All right, well, there you go. So thanks for watching, everybody.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you guys later.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another quiz. It has been long overdue, but because it's long overdue, we also have the best contestants, which are the exact same as the last time. In the blue corner, I guess, he is the Jack Bauer of connectivity. It's Scott Thompson.
I like that. Thank you. Hello.
That's the best nickname I've ever given you, I think.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Fantastic. And for the other one, he's a great smooth talker, and he talked a lot about the PlayStation Vita and PlayStation Plus. When the last time I talked to him, he's a great guy. He's an awesome man.
I'm the Chloe of connectivity.
Hey, I'd take that. That's sure. you're the Chloe of connectivity. So we have four rounds again, like the same ones. We have a news round. We have a music round. We have a special round. And then the almighty defend the indefensible, which is always fun. Ahaha, ahaha. Hopefully Edison will win this one.
Hey, now.
That's what I'm hoping.
Hey, Scott, I'm in the Guantanamo Bay principle. I will shake him as long as he will do it right.
Okay.
It's very important. For some reason. I don't know. Let's move on. Let's go to the first round. So the news round. 15 questions about the months March and April. I hope you remember those months well, because we're already in the middle of May, so we'll see. Hopefully. The first question. In Europe, Mario Kart 8 is getting a limited edition. What comes exactly with the copy of the game?
A blue shell?
That's 1 point for Edison. There you go. Already taking a good lead. I like that.
I came out strong last time, though.
We'll see. second question. Former Criterion boss, Alex Ward, blamed Nintendo in EA for what exactly?
I don't know.
It was over Need for Speed Most Wanted You not selling?
Yeah, and that they didn't give one fuss about the game. But I will give you the point there. Already, going strong. Inafune and developer Inti Creates announced this eShop title, which will be coming out this summer. No idea?
No.
No, I want to say Mighty Number 9, but no, that's not it.
It's not it. It's Azure Striker Gunvolt. Gunvolt. Yeah. This Konami lad left his post, finally, to do some stuff on his own terms.
Iga?
Yes, it's Iga. Or Koji Igarashi for everybody else. Wii Sports Club was updated in March. But what did Nintendo exactly add?
More golf courses?
Yep.
Okay.
For an extra point, from which game?
From Resort?
That's correct, yeah.
Woo!
You're coming back.
Yeah, just takes one.
Yeah. Nintendo has the intent to bring these development tools also to the Nintendo 3DS.
Unity?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That is correct. Which platform was finally added to the Wii U Virtual Console this past April?
Game Boy Advance.
Yes. Very well. Iguchi, the creator of Animal Crossing, is very open to adding this idea to the game to make it more social and a daily thing. It's something we use every single day.
A mobile app?
Yeah. He was open to the idea of mobile apps, which I was kind of surprised about, because Nintendo was... Well, I think they're doing it with Mario Kart TV now, but it's like, it's really weird to implement it something like Animal Crossing. But there you go. This Corky's Life Simulator will be heading to the Nintendo 3DS this June.
Tamagotchi Life.
There you go. You will get this if you buy the season pass of Mario Golf World Tour.
Golden Mario.
Jeez, can Scott answer too? My lord.
It's okay, I really haven't known many.
Yeah. Which characters got announced during the Super Smash Bros. Direct? You get a point for each.
Oh, Charizard and...
Mm-hmm. Greninja.
Yeah, I couldn't think of it.
Mm-hmm. There were three more.
Yoshi.
Oh.
Yeah. I still need three more, though. They did something to change things up. Actually, I did still need to.
So they're separate now. Like Samus and Zero Suit Samus are separate, and Zelda and Sheik.
Correct. Yes, Sheik and Zero Suit Samus. Very well. Tecmo and Nintendo said they were working on a new entry in this franchise.
Zelda?
No.
Say it again?
Tecmo Koei and Nintendo said they were working on a new entry in this franchise. They did it in March and April.
Yeah, singing Hyrule Warriors, but...
Yeah.
I will say this. The last one was only released in Europe and Japan.
I remember seeing something about this.
And the last one was also on Wii. It was a remake of the second game.
I don't know.
Fatal Frame.
Oh, right.
What's the name of the new Skylanders game that will be released later in the year?
Something of like, isn't like Switch or Swapping? I don't know.
Swapping was the last one, so you were close.
Oh, okay.
Allison, you any idea?
I have no clue, Don.
Trap Team. Skylanders Trap Team. And apparently you can play now as villains, too. Very, very innovative, I know. Name the four plans that Nintendo has announced for this year's E3.
Okay, so the digital event they're doing.
Yeah.
Okay. I know there'll be a, developer roundtable. Right? Roundtable?
Yeah, but it wasn't announced during that month, but okay, I will give you that point.
Okay. Well, I was gonna say it's hard not to get today's news mixed in with with this
Smash tournament.
So
yeah, the Smash tournament. Yep.
Oh, that's right.
There were two more.
It's the Treehouse thing.
Yeah, and the final.
Oh, that's what I was thinking of. Yeah. And then are they just having some kind of showcase, like a 3DS showcase? I don't know.
What are we going to do at Best Buy?
Oh, the Best Buy Smash.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yes, the Smash Brothers. I give that point to Edison, because I'm nice. Thank you. So that was the end of the first round. Hooray. 13 points for Edison, 7 for Scott.
Woof.
So, yeah, still everything is to play for. So, Edison is taking a good lead this time, so we'll see what happens in the next round, eh? The second round is the music round, and of course, the theme this month is sports games. I made it a bit easier because each pack has 4 songs instead of the usual 5, because I want to keep this a bit more streamlined than usual, and mostly because at the time of recording I haven't added the packs in yet, so that's a bit more annoying. There are a variety of songs there. There are 2 packs, and Scott, because you are in second place, you can choose your pack.
Okay, I'll take pack 1, that's fine.
Sure, we'll check out pack 1 and then we'll be back. We'll be right back. And we're back from pack one. So what Scott now needs to do is that he has to name the game and the platform it was on. Both will score you a point. And if he doesn't get one of them, it goes to Addison and he can try it for points for his own little score, I guess. Scott, are you ready?
Yeah, well, I'm gonna do very badly, but I am ready to do badly, yes.
Well, you surprised me last time with Sonic Lost World, so... Sonic Colors, I mean. So
yeah, I did kind of pull that one out, yeah, but I don't think I'm gonna get as lucky this time.
Okay, fair enough. go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, God, I'm almost embarrassed to answer these. Okay, so for number one, I went ahead and said Pilot Wing 64.
You get two...
I don't even know if that counts as a...
You get 2 points.
Oh, wow. I got that. Oh, man. Okay. I was like, I didn't even know that counted as a sports game, technically.
Well,
okay, nice.
It's playing sports. Of course it counts.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Awesome. Number two, I had no idea. It's super upbeat, so I said Wii Sports Resort, but I think it's way too upbeat for Wii Sports.
It's way too upbeat, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll move on. Third one?
Third one, was it NBA Jam?
On which console?
Super Nintendo?
Yeah, that's correct. 2 points.
Woo! Man, yeah, I thought that one sounded familiar. Okay, and then the fourth one, taking a total guess, because I had no idea, is it Tecmo Bowl?
No.
Okay, but... And I almost thought it was NES, but then it sounded a little bit too kind of... I don't know, I'm gonna go Game Boy.
Yeah, it's... No.
Okay. Well, Addison gets a chance.
Yeah. So, we'll move on to Addison. Do you know 204?
I have no idea about 204. I'm gonna just guess Mega Man Soccer.
No.
For the NES.
No. So.
What was 4? Well, I guess we'll hear both of them. 4 I'm really curious about.
Number 2 was Mario and Sonic, London 2012 on Wii.
Okay.
And number 4 was Mario Tennis on Game Boy Color.
Game Boy Color, okay. I knew it didn't sound like NES. At first I thought NES, but I knew it sounded too Game Boy-like. Okay.
Yeah.
Alright, well, you know, I surprised myself. I'll take 4 out of 8.
Four out of 8, yeah.
Yeah.
So, we're now going automatically to Pack 2 in Addison, because he has no other choice. Are you ready?
Yep. Well, let's do it.
Then let's listen to Pack 2. Back with Pack 2 and Addison. Do you know any of them?
Number one is, I'm going to guess, is some sort of Wii Mario sports game.
You know, it is Wii, but it's not the game you're now thinking of or whatever. So, too bad. You only get the Wii point.
Okay.
Next one.
It's Mario Golf for Nintendo 64.
No.
Oh.
Just no. Next one.
Mike Tyson's Punch Out for the Nintendo Entertainment System.
That is correct. And the last one.
Something for Game Boy.
Well, you got the Game Boy one, right? But you don't want to take a guess on a Game Boy game? They're very straightforward because they were usually just the name of the sport.
Baseball.
No. But Scott get a free chance very soon, so hey, it will be all right for him.
Well, no, because the only one I knew for sure was Punch Out. I don't know any of them. So I guess on the fourth one, if we know it's a Game Boy game and it's more than likely just the name of the sport, and we know it's not baseball, and I doubt it would be golf, I guess I will go with. I don't even know. Is there even a football game? Let's say football.
You should have gone with golf.
It was golf, damn it.
Yeah, okay. It was golf.
We had already done a few golf games, so I wasn't sure.
It was the title screen of golf.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah. So the other one, the first one, was Golf Vacation. Mm. 50 sports games in one package, which mostly are actually really good. And you run around little resorts. It's a more expense game of like Wii Ski, but way more bigger and a lot more options of 4-player and multiplayer. So there you go. Picked it up for $20 if you find it somewhere. The second one is Super Mario Sluggers on GameCube.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So yeah, for the rest we covered all of the songs, and the end score after this round is 17 for Edison, 11 for Scott. We still have the same freaking gap. Oh, and everything can still happen when we move on to sports questions. Welcome to round three, which are all about sports, or sports questions, everything related to sports. Sports games on Nintendo systems. Sports! Did I do this introduction well enough? Oh, fair.
Yeah, I'm fired up.
Yeah, me too, let's do this.
Amazing. So, question one. Nintendo has officially 5 titles under the Mario Golf branding. Name all of them.
Wait, I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
Sure. Nintendo has officially 5 titles under the Mario Golf branding. Name all of them.
Oh my gosh. Well, World Tour.
World Tour is one, yeah, definitely.
That one is one.
Yeah, that's one.
Oh man.
Are we each trying to get as many as we can get, or is just one person getting them all?
You are allowed to chime in.
Toadstool Tour?
Yep.
Mario Golf 64.
Yep.
Mario Golf for the Game Boy Color.
Mm-hmm. There's one more.
I do not know.
Okay, Edison, do you know?
We've done World Tour, which is 3DS. GameCube is Toadstool Tour, I think. We're missing the GBA one.
I need to name.
Is it just Mario Golf Advance?
No, it's some tour, I think. I don't know it.
It's Mario Golf Advance Tour.
Oh, of course.
It's so obvious, and nobody takes it. Oh, well. Second question. Rusty Real Deal Baseball has 10 games, and these 10 games all have names. You have, each have to tell me if it's accurate or not.
So you're going to say a name and we'll tell you if it's real or fake?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just like we did in the first quiz. Wink, wink.
Sure.
But now we do it with actual game titles. Hooray. Let's start with Scott. Why not? Bat and Swap.
Bat and Swap. That is not a real title.
That is, you have made a correct answer. Well done.
Thank you.
Edison. Volley Bats.
That is not real.
That is real.
Ugh.
Scott, the angle game.
The angle game, that is not real.
That is correct. Edison, gear maker.
It's bat maker, so no, that's incorrect.
That you did well. Scott, bat match.
Bat match. No, that is not one.
You're doing well on this one. Edison, drop and pop.
That is real.
That is real. Well done. Scott, quick catch.
Quick catch. That is real.
That is correct, yes. Edison, baseball master.
That's incorrect.
That you did well, yes. Scott, feel the glove.
Feel the glove, that is real.
Mm-hmm. And the final one for Edison, you decide.
That is not real.
Correct. Well done, only one mistake in this one.
Oof. I was hoping I'd have the advantage there, but apparently I
didn't. Yeah, because you reviewed it, but I've only played the demo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've heard so many people talk about it, though. I think a lot of lucky guesses, too.
Yeah, I think you just heard it a lot to the point where it all makes sense in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, question 3. Mario appeared in 2 EA Sports games. Can you name them both?
Oh, NBA Street.
Yes.
And then... NFL Street?
No.
Can I keep just guessing?
You can do a few more... Okay, I'll give you 2 more guesses.
Okay. FIFA Street?
No,
I don't know.
No.
Alright, I'll let Addison can guess them.
The basketball one was the only one I could think of. So, because it wasn't soccer. He had Mario Strikers, and then there was Mario Baseball. And so what sport would that leave? I doubt it was NHL. But,
yeah, no.
wasn't Madden. Wasn't Blitz. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's SSX on tour.
Yeah, that's okay. Right. Mario, was Peach in that too?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
That was a whole Nintendo town specifically made for the GameCube version.
Yeah.
These 2 sports have been in every iteration of Wii Sports.
Bowling.
And golf.
You both get a point. That's very, it's simple as that. Yep. Speaking of Wii Sports, the sequel Resort featured something that was intended to be included in the original, but ended up being scrapped. What?
Is it sword fighting?
No. There are 10 sports.
The plane?
Yes, the plane. Or just called air sports. Mm-hmm. Whatever you want to do. Okay, this is another you can name it all question. And this is a bit, I made this one a bit easier because it's pretty broad, okay? There are 21 sports represented in the Super Nintendo's library. You get a point for naming one of them.
American football.
Just naming it. We named the game or we named the sport?
Just name the sport. It's as easy as that.
Okay.
American football.
American football.
Wrestling.
Wrestling.
Football.
European.
Hockey.
Hockey. Jeez. Hockey, yeah.
Basketball.
Basketball.
Golf.
Golf.
Boxing.
Boxing. Is boxing in there?
Super Punch Out.
Yeah, there was Super Punch
Out.
Yeah,
boxing is in there, sure.
Racing, car racing.
Yep.
Pilot Wings.
That's not a genre.
It counted earlier, so.
You're not always that lucky. You're still missing a few obvious ones.
Yeah, what?
Was there an Excitebike? Was there a cycling game?
Bicycle racing. I will give you that.
Did we say baseball?
I don't think we said baseball. No.
Okay.
Auto racing?
Auto racing, I think that's already said, so.
Well, I said car racing, okay. Yeah. Swimming?
Let me check if swimming is in this list. No, swimming is, I think, not in this list. No.
Volleyball?
Volleyball is in this list.
Oh, that's a good one, yeah.
Do we guess tennis already?
No, tennis was not guessed yet.
Okay.
Damn it. Dodgeball?
Dodgeball is in this list, yes.
Like Olympic sports.
Olympic sports, yes.
Yeah, if there was an Olympics game. Does unicycle racing count as a separate?
No. Oh, that falls on the bicycle racing.
Uni racers.
I'm still missing one or two obvious ones. And then I call it a day.
Oh, man.
Unsurprisingly, these are two sports that we've mentioned earlier. Give up?
I don't want to because I'm just trying to remember what we've talked about.
We talked American football. We talked European football, soccer. We talked baseball. We talked basketball, bicycle racing, boxing, dodgeball, hockey. Tennis, wrestling, volleyball.
So like track and field, like running?
I can't really count it because that's a really broad term.
I know there was probably a really bad, like, American Gladiators game. I don't know if that would count as sports.
Yeah, that was actually under the other category, so no.
Okay. No, I give up then. We can move on.
Sure. So the ones that you didn't get were, like, fishing.
Oh, yeah.
Extreme sports.
Mm-hmm.
Q sports.
Okay.
Horse racing.
Right.
Skiing and snowboarding.
Oh, yeah.
And sumo.
Sumo, of course. Yeah, okay.
So, and the rest, you got most of them, so that's pretty well.
Good.
Next one. This Winter Olympic sport got its own title on the N64 to celebrate the upcoming Olympics in Nagano.
Snowboarding?
Well, snowboarding.
No.
Bobsledding?
No.
Speed skating?
I thought...
Is it downhill skiing?
I really thought this one would come up first. It was so a perfect question. You have disappointed me. Well, we move on. It was hockey.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
There was a separate hockey game for the Nagano Winter Olympics.
But themed around the Olympics. Oh, weird. Okay, I don't even remember that.
There was an actual Olympics game, however, but there was a separate Nagano hockey game.
Weird.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
I played it. It was pretty good. Number 8. While we were on the Nintendo 64, this American sports institution had the biggest amount of sports games on that system.
National Football League?
No.
I'm gonna say the MLB. Baseball.
No.
NBA?
Huh. Yes, the NBA.
Oh. Probably all the Jam and
NBA. NBA had 9 titles on the N64.
Hmm. Wow.
That's even more than European football and American football combined.
Wow.
Yeah. Number 9. Wave Race Blue Storm was universally praised for 2 things in particular. What exactly?
The water physics?
Yes.
And just how pretty it looked?
And the
soundtrack?
Actually, the effects and the physics, so you combine the two, actually.
Oh, okay.
Into one answer. So you get both points exactly at the same time. It's as wonderful as that. This is the highest rated Game Boy Advance sports game.
The highest rated, is it Tony Hawk's Pro Skater?
Which mm-hmm. one?
2?
Yes.
Whew.
And it was a Metacritic score of 95.
Wow. Well, I remember that was like mind-blowing at the time that it looked that good on a Game Boy Advance. Mm-hmm. Even though it was sort of like isometric and stuff.
On the other hand, let's talk about Nintendo DS. What was their highest rated game?
Highest rated sports game?
Yeah.
Mario Kart?
No.
Hmm.
Oh, man, DS sports game. Is it the Mario 3-on-3 basketball?
No.
Hmm. No, I don't know.
It's Tony Hawk's American Skate Land.
Oh, okay. More Tony Hawk.
At 84. Next one. These 3 Mario sports games never had a sequel to back them up.
Never had Mario Super Sluggers?
No, those were 2 games.
Oh, was it? Damn it.
Yeah, GameCube and Wii. No, those 2.
No, there were 2 Strikers, yeah. Well, there's Mario Sports Mix.
Yep, that's correct.
And then, how many more are there?
2.
2 more. Mm.
Actually, one of them you mentioned earlier.
Did I?
You or Edison mentioned that one of the 2
were... Oh, well, 3-on-3 basketball.
Yeah. And the third one is a bit mean, I'll give you that.
Okay, well then I give up.
It's DDR Mario Mix.
Oh, sure.
That dancing is professional.
It is.
Yes. Number 13. By many, this was considered the best sports game on the Nintendo Entertainment System, mostly because of its accurate representation in its own simplistic way.
Tecmo Bowl.
Yes. With the old animations when Midtime plays, really cool.
Yeah. And you got real players and stuff.
Yeah, really awesome. These sports were made their way on the Virtual Boy.
Tennis?
Yes.
Golf?
Yes.
How many more are there?
There are 1, 2.
Soccer?
No.
Because baseball?
Yeah, baseball. Virtual League Baseball.
Basketball?
No.
Which ones have we said so far? We said golf, baseball, and what was the third one we've already
Tennis.
Said? Tennis. Hmm.
Not gonna get it?
No.
Nope.
It's Nestor's Funky Bowling.
Oh, sure, okay.
The final question. Wave 4 Technologies, bless their soul, made a super rad Game Boy Color game, which has crazy sports like surfing and luge.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Neil would know.
It's the most obvious name for sports like this.
Extreme sports?
Yes.
Excellent.
And I'm not going to say what the score is, because we're going to move on to the final one, defend the indefensible.
Oh, boy.
Well, I hope that means it's close enough that both of us can still win at least.
I don't know. and welcome to Defending Indefensible. Usually, we let them decide the statement for the other person. But Assad said, no, I'm going to write these. Who likes to go first?
I'll go first.
Are you sure?
Sure, that's fine.
Okay. When I say the statement, your time starts running and you have 60 seconds to defend this statement. And your statement is, hockey is the worst sport in existence.
I mean, hockey just sucks. I mean, you're out there, you're on skates, like figure skaters. I mean, there's nothing cool about that. It's cold. You have to wear like a coat if you're going to go watch a game. That's stupid. What's with these little pucks? With these little low-scoring games? I want a game where every team is scoring over 100 points every single time. Like 2-3, 1-3, 1-0. No. If there's not a lot of scoring, I'm not interested. No thank you. And these guys are not even great athletes. Like LeBron James will play an entire basketball game. You've got hockey players that got there for like 30 seconds and then they come back on and they have to rest for 3 minutes before they go back out there again. They're just babies. They're all babies. It's just a boring, dumb game. You can't even really play it outside unless it's cold outside. Like, that's stupid. You have to have a stick. I don't want a stick. I just want to throw things. Like, I just want to throw something into something that's a little bit bigger than it and score points. That's all there is. That's all I want to do.
And
hockey sucks.
Yeah, that was your time, actually.
Okay.
You did exactly in 60 seconds.
I have a really good internal clock.
Yes. So, we move over to Edison. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Good. Your statement is, Kung Fu Rabbit on the Nintendo 3DS is the best eShop game in history.
Sure. Kung Fu Rabbit is extremely challenging platformer, but it's very rewarding. The music is like the greatest symphony I've ever heard. The sound engineering on that game is fantastic. It should win tons of awards for how great the soundtrack is in that game. It is a 10-second loop of beautifulness. I put it right up there with the entire Final Fantasy series and Zelda. They should make a Kung Fu Rabbit symphony, and they could just play that 10-second loop over and over and over again for 2 hours. It would bring tears to the eyes. And what's greater than a game that gives you power-ups that breaks the game halfway through? You don't want to fight enemies? Fine. Just buy this power-up that lets you run into them and kill them. That's just fan treatment right there. You know they love the gamers if they just let them run through the game with no penalties, no challenge at all. So that just makes the game fantastic right there. And did I mention the music? It is just glorious. And
okay,
I love hearing that soundtrack.
Your time is up. So we come to the end of this quiz, of this ramshackle of a quiz that somehow people like hearing. I don't know why. I'm just here hosting it all, making it work sound alright. Wow. So both of you did better than I expected it to do. Edison, I recommend you for sticking to the point of the soundtrack. That's very recommendable of you. I'm definitely going to check the game out now. Thank you very much for the highly recommendation.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Okay.
Make sure you wear headphones.
And Scott, I definitely believe that hockey is the worst sport in existence. I mean, I could not watch it for another Olympics, which are luckily over because they were in Sochi. I think Scott won this one. I was extra mean with this one. I really defended it well.
Thank you. What was the final score?
You did it again!
I did what again?
Come back.
You jinxed me. Stop jinxing me. It's not fun. The final score, thanks a lot. The final score is 35 for Anderson, 40 for Scott. So in the third round, you both had 35.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So this definitely decided it.
Awesome. Every time we've done these, it's actually worked out perfectly that, like, we get to the final question and it decides the game.
Yes.
That's good.
And you even scored better than last time because I think the score was like 23-22. So you both even improved.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Woot.
So this was your month. Hooray! I want to thank you all for listening to this, again, this ramshackle of a show. Thank you for sticking with me through this terrible, terrible editing process, which will possibly sound perfect, but in the season it was terrible. but I love these two guys. They've been on this show two times now. But if you want to be on the show as well, on this quiz, hey, just shoot me a mail. It'll be fine. We want new blood. Or just new people that Scott can lose from.
Yeah. I lost the first game. Alex beat me the very first time.
You won two times in a row. We need to make sure that you don't win a third time.
Fair enough.
And Edison, step up.
Oh.
Really. Really. You did well enough, but not enough to win Scott. So, regroup. Learn how to defend a point for 60 seconds in a row. And then when you feel up for it, you're more than willing to come back.
All right, I'll come back when Scott plays the glorious black box title Ice Climbers.
Yeah, there we go.
For you guys who don't know, we actually cut a bit out. There was another outtake, which you possibly can hear after the segment. I don't know. We'll possibly do something. It was glorious. Anyway, thank you all, and good night.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Alright, that will do it for episode 134 of Connectivity. As always, you can send your listener mail to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. Be sure to rate and review us on iTunes if you haven't done that yet. And follow all of us on Twitter. Go to nintendoworldreport.com and look for the Twitter sidebar on the right-hand side of the page to find all of our usernames there. And now, if you'd like, please stick around for a bonus segment all about Amazing Spider-Man 2. We'll see you next week.
Welcome to a special bonus segment here on Connectivity. I'm Neil Ronahan, and with me is Zach Miller.
Hi.
And we're going to talk about Amazing Spider-Man 2. Let's kick it off. How's the video game, Zach?
Not good, Neil.
Oh, really? Because the first one, you really dug Amazing
Loved
Spider-Man.
It
came out in like some, like, Ultimate Webhead Edition
right.
on Wii U a year after it originally came out on other platforms.
Yeah.
And you seem to really dig that.
Loved it.
Now, what does the second one, which is made by the same people, what's ruined about it?
Well, you kind of have a timer on a lot of the side missions, and I loved doing the side missions in the first one because it gave you experience and it allowed me to web swing around the city like forever. But these ones have time limits, and if you don't get to them in time, your hero rating drops. J. Jonah Jameson starts saying shit about you in the papers.
That
I
dick.
Don't know what happens if your rating gets too low.
Cause yeah,
because
isn't
let
it like this whole hero versus menace concept?
Yeah, it is. Like, but is it just bad PR? Because I can live with that. I don't really give a shit. But also the missions feel a little more forced, like the missions themselves that you have to go on. And, And during cutscenes, Spider-Man is just, it's like he has ADD. He can't stay still. He's always swinging his arms around, walking all over the place. Just sit still, Spider-Man. Talk to the dude.
He's hyperactive. He's got to dance around, you know?
And the non-Spider-Man character models look like PS2 era character models. It's horrible.
I can't imagine what that game looks like on like PS4 or Xbox One, because it does exist there.
I've heard it, actually the only difference is there's more traffic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But like Peter and Aunt May and Gwen, first of all, no likeness at all to the actors. They're not voiced by the actors, which is the same from the first game, but goddamn, they all look hideous. And I look more like Andrew Garfield than this character model does.
Does he sound like Andrew Garfield?
No. Trying to sound like him.
I do. I think they had... Did Tobey Maguire voice in the first Spider-Man game?
I couldn't tell you.
He might have.
He might
either
have.
That or it was a sound-alike, or it just sounded like a sound-alike because Tobey Maguire sounded like he was sleeping through that game.
Oh, yeah. Now, what is interesting, I will say that Amazing Spider-Man 2, the video game, is a continuation of Amazing Spider-Man 1, the video game, and not the movie. So it's kind of like the first Amazing Spider-Man movie is where there's this weird universe split between the next movie and the video games. It's really bizarre. But
can't wait until when they have the spinoffs to that.
Yeah, Sinister Six and Venom be their own universe. But it is a weird universe split. Like, characters from the first game are clearly in this one, but not in the movie. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, J. Jonah Jameson, he's not, he's only like referenced in an email.
Right. And he's not, in the game either, but he clearly has a presence. And, Alistair Smythe is, well, we might talk about this. He's in the movie briefly. But he, in the first game, which is a sequel to the first movie, he is the main villain. And he kind of doesn't show up in the second game if you catch my drift.
I wonder why.
So, yeah.
I mean, it's kind of what you have to do because a movie game where you just relive the movie isn't really that appealing.
Oh,
so
sure.
So I kind of get what they're doing with that. It's just kind of weird.
It is really strange.
I mean, it's probably also the way that, you know, the production of that film's going as well. Like, do they even deal, well, okay, from here on
to,
out, if
haven't
you haven't,
oh, go oh,
okay,
ahead.
Okay. If, from here on out though, here's a good warning. If you haven't seen Amazing Spider-Man 2 and want to, we're going to spoil the shit out of the movie.
Oh yeah.
So back off, skip to the end, do not press go. So is Gwen even in the game?
She is.
Okay.
In fact, I'm going to make sure she's okay right now because, I think some power's gone out at Oscorp or something, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah, Gwen was in the first game too, but she, again, aside from having white hair, looked nothing like Gwen in the movie.
I like how it's white hair and she's not a blonde.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about the movie though, because the movie is divisive.
I know, I've seen a lot of talk on the internet. Everyone seems to, the general consensus is that this movie's a piece of shit.
It's not a piece of shit.
Which I completely and 100% resent. I actually really enjoyed the movie. I think I can sum it up as kind of why it worked for me is that I realized, like, while watching the beginning of this movie, that part of the reason why Spider-Man as a character works for me is that he's kind of, in my preferred incarnation of Spider-Man, it's kind of like this weird variation on Batman. Because to me, as we've talked about in previous bonus segments involving Batman the Animated Series and all that jazz, is that, like, you know, Batman is the actual hero. He's the person. He's sad, brooding, etc. Whereas Bruce Wayne is the public face.
Right.
He's the person that everyone sees. And I feel like for Spider-Man, it's flipped, but still similar. Because when you think about with the shit that Peter Parker has dealt with, I mean, even focusing just in the two movies, his parents are dead. He doesn't really know what's going on with them. He finds out in this movie. His uncle dies 100% because of him. And then at the end of this movie, his fucking girlfriend dies in front of him.
Yep.
And it's arguably his fault, not really.
Nope. It's on her. This yeah. one's on her.
Yeah, I mean, they make that shit clear. But there's just this innate sadness about the character that's almost makes him vaguely Harry Potter-esque.
And he kind of deals with it by being Spider-Man, I think.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what I like, is that in much the same way that with my preferred incarnation of Batman, that Bruce Wayne is this public happy-go-lucky persona, that's what Spider-Man is for Peter Parker, is that, you know, he's dealing with all this shit, he's a brooding teenage, I guess he's like a 20-year-old kid in Amazing Spider-Man 2, and he's got a lot of shit going on that no 20-year-old regularly deals with.
Yeah.
But the way he kind of copes with it is that he's Spider-Man, and he's this fantastic, hopeful person when he's Spider-Man. And they have a lot of wonderful moments, like, I mean, even though it kind of, I guess, winds up backfiring on him, when he runs into Jamie Foxx playing Max Dillon and saves him, like, he just, you can tell by his mannerisms and that, like, he makes the comment to Jamie, to Max Dillon saying that, like, you know, oh, I need you, you're my eyes and ears.
Yeah.
You can tell that, like, he says that to everybody because he wants everybody to, you know, be one with him.
Yeah.
And then there's that awesome, awesome moment with the little kid where
that was my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah, he's getting bullied, and then Spider-Man comes over and scares the bullies off, and then like helps the kid out, like says some encouraging words to him, and then like walks him home.
Is this a wind turbine? Did you make this? Holy crap!
Yeah, yeah. It's just like this really sweet moment where just like you can tell that like this is how he's dealing with all the shit going on in his life, and I think that's. Honestly, the backbone of why this movie worked for me is because I think that they understand the characters. There's some dumb bullshit going
on. Totally.
But I think at the base, the people making this movie, the creative minds, like, they know what the fuck they're doing. Unfortunately, yeah. There's probably some studio push and pull that
exactly.
is why it's a little wonky, why it's a little bit of a mess.
It's the core of... I think I said this on Twitter. I liked almost everything in the movie except the Spider-Man stuff. Like, I love his interaction with Emma Stone. I love his interaction with Aunt May, who played, by the way, very well by a woman whose name I forget.
But Aunt May, Sally Field.
Sally Field. Great
yeah,
Aunt May.
Awesome, awesome. I mean, it's kind of muted performance from Sally Field because she doesn't do that much. And I know people are ragging on how it's just like, oh, she's becoming a nurse in her spare time. It's like, okay, throwaway scene where, okay. It's like the kind of thing I feel like if they didn't show a lot of Aunt May, people would be like, what the fuck? We don't know what's going on with Aunt May. And then they
yeah,
show what Aunt May's doing, and then everyone complains that it's too busy.
Yeah, I mean, what do you want her to do? Just sit at home all day long?
Yeah.
I like the fact that she has a life outside of the house.
Yeah.
Also, very funny scene with her trying to wash his laundry. That was great.
Yeah, just kind of cute. And I like the, you know, just the real honest emotions that come out when it's the stuff related, when all the crap about Spidey's parents or Peter Parker's parents come out. That, like, that's the reason why he's Spider-Man is because his dad worked on that spider venom and used his own DNA, so it would really only work on the Parker family.
Right. I feel like, one more relationship I want to talk about that I liked. I like the relationship that was established between him and Harry. Like after that scene of them taking a walk and skipping stone stuff, it all kind of went downhill very quickly. But up until that point, like I believed that they were friends.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, I believe that they were old friends.
Yeah, exactly.
It was kind of like they were catching up. And I think that's why, you know, everything kind of broke down between them was because, you know, they didn't really have that solid foundation because they hadn't really seen each other in like a decade.
Sure.
Although, I mean, there is some weird, like, moments where it's basically instead of Peter being a friend and trying to help him, it's just kind of like, no, man, not going to help you. Spider-Man ain't going to help you. We out.
Yeah.
And, I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like they could have waited a movie to get Harry into full Green Goblin mode. Like, I would have rather they developed that relationship more so that his eventual killing of Gwen Stacy in like a third movie felt like a real betrayal instead of we have to wrap the movie up.
Yeah. I mean, that's the one thing is that like, I mean, there's definitely a betrayal that happens, but it doesn't really feel that earned because you don't see enough of them together.
No. And he just kind of shows up.
Yeah. Which I think, I mean, there's part of that where it's just like, I really do like how that sequence was shot. And apparently there's actually numerous takes and a much more extended version of that Green Goblin Spider-Man fight at the end of the movie. But I think it works in its abbreviated form because it's just so brutal and fast.
Yeah, and Gwen Stacy's death scene is like, it hits you in the gut.
Yeah. I mean, and you know it's coming. They by the way, Gwen Stacy dies at the end of this movie. You avoided that. Good job. I almost didn't, and I saw the movie the night before it came out officially.
Nice.
I had heard rumors about it, and I'm just like, eh, it's probably going to happen, whatever. Although I think the movie also came out internationally like a month ago or something. Who knows?
Oh, that's, did
that's
it?
That's the way movies come out now.
Yeah.
Because international is where the money's at. But I like the way they handled that death, even though you knew it was coming, but it just made this great sense of dread where, like, you knew nothing was safe.
Right.
Like, you knew she was going down from the minute she had that grad speech in the beginning where she's talking about how, like, even if we die, like, we should all just live for now.
Right. And she's at the car and she's saying, I know how to trip the breaker. And he's like, well, whatever, you're staying here. And she's like, I'm making my own choice, Peter.
Yeah. It was very heavy-handed in that regard.
But just the way she hit the ground, like, right before that, I was like, maybe she's okay.
Yeah.
I
mean, it was really good, I thought.
Yeah.
I thought the way they handled that. And I do kind of like how, and I've heard some stuff about how people are kind of upset with the way that she's portrayed as, like, oh, of course she's the only person who can, like, go and, you know, work with that electrical grid, which is ostensibly just hitting a button or something.
I honestly thought that was poorly handled.
Like, I feel like maybe make her do something more complicated, but the idea of her being this kind of, you know, stronger, dominant character who really is, like, you know, she might know more than Peter Parker. She's not just a helpless damsel.
Or she really wants to help.
Yeah, which, thinking back to, like, the Raimi Spider-Man movies, like, throughout three movies, Kirsten Dunst's character is basically dumb as bricks.
And kind of a bitch.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's not like that's terrible, but she's nothing more than a damsel throughout three movies.
Right.
Whereas at least Gwen in this movie, like, yeah, she bites the dust at the end, but, like, she's actually an active player in the story.
Right. And, you know, you bring up the Raimi movies. These two amazing Spider-Man movies, like, watching Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone together, or watching Andrew Garfield and Sally Field, or Andrew Garfield and whoever played Harry Osborn, whatever the hell his name is. It just reinforces to me, I've always thought this, but it reinforces how poorly cast the Raimi movies were.
Yeah.
Like, this is Spider-Man, and not, like, Tobey Maguire did not portray Spider-Man well.
Yeah.
And Kirsten Dunst probably didn't want to be there half the time. You know, that kind of thing.
It didn't seem like it. I mean, there's just so many awkward scenes.
Alfred Molina, really, the only good casting decision. You could argue that Green Goblin was well cast, and he probably was.
I don't know. Willem Dafoe was excellent.
Willem Dafoe was excellent,
then
yeah.
They covered up his face.
Right. Right. Exactly. So,
that's
but
the
yeah,
one
like,
thing they do a good job here is I like the look of Goblin.
I do too. Yeah.
And I think Dane DeHaan's a fantastic actor.
That's
and
his
I think
name,
he,
yeah.
he does the role well.
Yeah, he does.
It definitely is a little, there was a little camp in how much of like a villain he becomes so quickly.
Right.
Magical
healing suit.
Yeah. But I like it and I guess we'll get to it in a little bit, but I can't say I'm really that excited with where they're going with it. Like, I'm on board. I'll watch whatever dumb Sinister Six shit they throw at me.
And Venom.
But...
more excited for Venom.
Yeah, like, I guess it's kind of cool that, like, the Sinister Six are going to be on the big screen. Like, kind of in the same way it was nice seeing Bane actually portrayed in a way that wasn't dog shit. Rises, but I don't know if I'm really looking forward to that, because...
like a movie full of villains, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I mean, I just... I don't know.
That's not what's compelling about Spider-Man
yeah.
to me.
And it's, I also came to this because I have a lot of retroactive hate for all the Raimi Spider-Man movies. I think the first one's really, I think the only good thing about the first one is, Willem Dafoe is the Green Goblin.
I agree.
I think the only thing good about the second one is Alfred Molina as Dr. Octopus.
I agree.
And the only good thing about the third one is that it's one of the best comedies of 2007. like I like those movies a lot at the time, and I rewatched them, probably like, I don't know, past couple years, sometimes even caught like parts of them on TV after watching them all the way through and being kind of disappointed. It's still like, outside of some, I think Spider-Man 2 is easily the best of that. I think a lot of people hold that up as one of the best comic book movies, but Spider-Man 2, just all those movies, like, they're so goddamn campy. And I guess, you know what, it's capturing like the 60s Spider-Man.
It's also kind of Sam Raimi's thing.
But it's also what bugs me about those movies, and it dawned on me with Amazing Spider-Man 2, is that those three movies are all about the tragedy of the villains. It's right. Never really about the tragedy of Peter Parker.
True.
They kind of try to make it to, but it's like, maybe it's Tobey Maguire's face. I don't know.
He always has
this smugness and like this self-assuredness that, yeah, he does have his doubts in Spider-Man 2 about being Spider-Man, but it's like, it doesn't seem like a threat.
No.
Whereas in Amazing Spider-Man, like, there's a lot of moments where you're like, wow, this kid's fucked. Like, how is he going to get out of this one? I really don't know.
Yeah, and they're not physical threats so much. Like, you know he's going to win. He's fucking Spider-Man. But he's dealt a lot of personal blows that are well done or well portrayed in Amazing Spider-Man movies.
Yeah, like the will-they-won't-they crap between him and Gwen throughout the entire movie. Like, that felt earned to a degree. Like, it worked.
Yeah, like their second meetup, like, we should just be friends. That was so friggin' cute.
Yeah,
That whole sequence. I'm glad both movies take the time to do those character moments. You didn't get any of that in the Raimi movies.
Nope. But, yeah, I guess, what else is there to talk about?
Can I bitch about Electro?
Oh, yeah, we haven't talked about Electro at all. Electro's
he doesn't
pretty
make
dumb.
Any goddamn sense.
He's pretty dumb.
My gosh.
I think he's pretty funny, though. Like, as in, like, okay, visually, like, the Electro Spider-Man fights, the Times Square battle, the final fight that they have, like, really cool.
Sure.
Like, visually, he's a pretty dang cool villain. But yeah, as far as how that worked, like, that's just dumb.
Yeah. The thing I couldn't forgive was when he's in the lab and Harry frees him somehow, he dematerializes, goes through a electrical socket, comes out the other end with pants and his little battery node attached to his head still, and all those connecting cables on his chest. And then he dematerializes in Oscorp, comes back with a big rubber suit. And I'm like, dude, come on. Poorly handled.
I do like that. I think I saw some mention of this. Maybe it was just a Twitter comment or something, about the concept of that whenever Electro's on screen, he is fucking the soundtrack. Which I think is a really true statement, because it's like Electro's on screen and it just goes to like ridiculous dubstep and like chanting voices.
Death metal music, yeah.
Yeah, cause it's just like, I guess it's supposed to represent the voices in Electro's head. But I don't know, like that was just really funny to me.
Yeah.
Like, I think he was a really dumb character, but it didn't really ruin anything for me because, yeah, I don't know, he looked cool. And maybe that's reductive to just say that, like, I don't know, the big shiny comic book movie had some moments that were visually cool.
Right.
But that's what it was. And I like that final fight scene. I like the solution to try to defeat him, which is just basically blowing him up. Like,
overload him, yeah.
Which was cool.
But Jamie Foxx did a good job.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it was a weird role, but he did it well.
And Alistair Smythe's such a cock.
Yeah, BJ Novak, who was...
came out of left field.
Yeah, he's just there, and he's just a dick. what other little references were there? Oh, they did have Felicia, I think, played by Felicity Jones.
Oh, yeah,
Jones.
Felicity Jones.
But, yeah, Felicia is, I think, supposed to be Felicia Hardy, who later becomes the Black Cat. Or maybe she's the Black Cat during this movie. I have no idea.
Poorly
she's
cast
just like
there.
The Harry Osborn's assistant for some reason. I don't really know.
Yeah, I know. I thought maybe she'd have a black cat role, like she steals something from Oscorp. I don't know. But she's just kind of there. I did think it was funny when Harry says, you know, what's your name? She says, Felicia, I'm your assistant. And he's like, all right, you all work for her now.
Yeah, like that was weird.
Oh, it was weird, yeah, but it was kind of a funny,
funny
thing.
But yeah, I mean, are you excited for the future of the Amazing Spider-Man series?
I don't know. Is Sinister Six supposed to come out before 3?
I think the way it works is that I think 3 is coming out in 2016, so 2 years from now. And then I think it's like 3, Sinister Six, 4, then Venom, or something like that.
Oh, okay.
I don't really know the exact order, but I think there's not going to be a new movie until 3,
which is in 2 years. I think I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I think I'm worried the 3, like as much needless world building as this one did, I think 3 will be chock full of it if they're doing Sinister Six and Venom. I don't know if I like that.
And I think it's also telling that we really didn't talk about Peter's parents that much, even though it was kind of a big part of this movie.
Storyline kind of went nowhere.
Yeah. It was like, I don't know, they had that scene on the plane, and like that was fun, I guess. And like, Peter's dad is like super into like uploading this file to like his secret Roosevelt Island he's trying to hide away. And then like you see it, and it's just a video of him being like, hey guys, I'm not a monster. It's like, that there ain't nothing secret about that. It's basically like, alright, I'm gonna send this so that way when my son finds it in 15 years, he's not gonna feel bad.
I feel like he probably could have just left that on the computer anyway. 15 years ago, you know?
Well, I mean, then the computer wouldn't exist because the plane crashed and he's dead. Right.
Yeah, that's true. Could have left it home. Yeah. But it was just a weird...
Give it to the kid.
Yeah, exactly. That was a weird ending, coda to his parents. But now at least we know they're not going to come back later in his life and fuck him up, so.
Yeah, and be evil or something. I think, be evil, wasn't that a thing that happened in the comics? Or were they clones?
Ended up being clones.
Yeah.
Of course.
When someone comes back from the dead in the Spider-Man universe, they're probably clones. when someone's alive in the Spider-Man universe, probably a clone.
Probably a clone.
When someone's acting contrary to their character normally, they're probably a clone.
Maybe we'll see Scarlet Spider down the road. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, are you on the Ben Reilly love wagon?
I like Ben Reilly. I always have. He's such a good character.
I've never given a shit about Ben Reilly. I'd rather see, like, Miles Morales or Spider-Man 2099. Oh, that would be cool,
too. Oh, Donald my gosh, Glover, Spider-Man man. 2099. Oh, Donald Glover. My
God. Donald for Spider-Man.
But isn't Morales, like, 14?
Yeah. Well, do you remember, I mean, this might have been before, I mean, I knew it was before Donald Glover was ever really that relevant to me, but when they were casting for Amazing Spider-Man, he had like kind of a joke campaign on social media and stuff, Donald for Spider-Man.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
And supposedly that indirectly led to, the Ultimate Universe having Miles Morales as a character.
Really?
Yep.
That's funny. Yep. That's pretty great.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I know that I think Peter's coming back. I think he's
already back. He came back the week of the new movie.
Oh, really? So they're taking it away from Miles again?
Well, no. Peter came back in like the regular universe, not Ultimate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because, well, they had the whole thing where Dr. Octopus was...
Right, Superior Spider-Man.
But now, like, it's back to normal. I don't know what happened.
Man, I wish they would have stuck with their guns on that a little bit.
Well, I mean, they did for, like, 2 years.
They did, yeah, I know, yeah,
all
right.
I mean, that's all you can really expect in comics. It's just them to, like, all right, we're going to do this new thing for, like, a year or two, and then we're going to go back. Like, they're killing off Wolverine in the fall, apparently. He'll be back by the next movie, don't worry.
Yeah, it's true. Hey, speaking of X-Men, what was up with that really weird teaser?
Oh, here's a fun fact.
Random scene.
So I read up about this, cause it confused me too.
Oh, we should tell people what this is.
In the middle of the credits, during The Amazing Spider-Man 2, there is a scene from X-Men Days of Future Past these movies are not related at all.
At all. Them
both being Marvel properties. They're made by completely different companies. No relation.
Nobody's going to show up in the other.
The reason why there is an ad for X-Men Days of Future Past is because the director of Amazing Spider-Man 2, Mark Webb, he made that movie 500 Days of Summer with 20th Century Fox. And he signed, I think, a 2- or 3-picture deal with them. But then he started doing the Spider-Man movies with Sony. So he's still on the hook for these movies from 20th Century Fox. Part of the agreement that they came to is that I don't think it necessarily absolves any of the movies that he owes Fox. But to kind of like make Fox less pissed off, the agreement was that they were going to show an ad for X-Men Days of Future Past during Spider-Man 2.
That's too funny.
Yeah, which is just like this weird thing that probably just confuses shit out of everybody.
Yup. My friend, I saw it with Marcus, and Marcus was like, does that mean the X-Men are going to be in Spider-Man?
Like, Spider-Man? No. The Spider-Man Mystique?
That would be awkward for Gwen.
Jennifer Lawrence
going
to be the next Gwen Stacy?
Hey, I'd buy that movie.
Yeah. I probably would too.
But yeah, I'm really kind of excited about X-Men, by the way. Not to go off topic too much, but damn.
Yeah. I mean, I think right now we should probably get close to wrapping it up. We've been talking about this shit for like a half an hour.
Ah.
But yeah, we'll probably be talking about X-Men in about two weeks. Or maybe we'll do Godzilla. Maybe we'll do Godzilla.
Oh my god,
and X-Men
Godzilla.
In a one thing. If you want us to keep on doing these kind of movie segments, let us know. Hit me up on Twitter at Enron10.
Yep.
And then Zach, you're at ZMiller1902.
I am.
And you can also email us at connectivity@nintendoreport.com. And if you want us to do these kind of movie things, we'll keep on doing them. I like summer movies. I like talking about them.
Me too.
And I like comics a lot too. So like, yeah, we can blow the shit out of some X-Men.
Know we're going to talk about Ninja fucking Turtles.
Yeah. I mean, that might
that's
be a travesty.
That's going to be a train wreck.
But, yeah, I will watch that movie. I don't care what anyone says. I'll probably see it opening weekend and regret it afterwards.
Yup. And we are 9 days away from Godzilla.
Yeah, no, I'm excited for Godzilla. Probably not as much as you are, but no. I will see that movie opening weekend.
Dude, I called Century, the big theater here, and I said, you guys doing a midnight show? They said, no. I said, damn it. They said, we're doing a 7 p.m. show.
Yeah, I know. The night great? Before. The future, man.
Oh my gosh.
I grew up in high school having to do all these midnight shows and have to convince my parents to let me to go. And then for Spider-Man, I'm just like looking at me like, oh, there's a 7 o'clock showing down the road. So I just got home from work, you know, picked up some dinner on the way and just watched Spider-Man and then like got home by 10. Awesome.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I'm excited about that.
But yeah. All right. Yeah, that's it. Right. Let us know what you think and, thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.